we are in this space where the Lord has spoken to our house, and I believe through our house that this is a year of divine intervention. Somebody say divine intervention. Enough is enough. Say enough is enough. This is a year of divine intervention, and so we have to have that expectation and anticipation of divine intervention happening for us at any moment, at any time, and on any day, and every day. Just because it happened for you yesterday doesn't mean he's not going to do anything more for you today. And so we should be expecting perpetual experiences of divine intervention. Say divine intervention. Now, what I want to do is really clarify, and I clarified this on Wednesday. There is a difference between divine intervention and a miracle. Miracles, signs, and wonders are what the Lord works through us. Because the scripture says, these signs will follow those who believe. And then also, the scripture talks to us about how when Jesus said, these works I will do in greater because I go to the Father. And what were the works Jesus was referring to? Miracles, signs, and wonders. Divine intervention is what God does for us, for the believer. It is his supernatural enforcement of covenant. So this is the definition the Lord gave me. Divine intervention is a sovereign act of God enforcing his covenant with us through supernatural means and acts. It is a demonstration of God's love for us through the working of his power for us. It is God fulfilling his word and promises to us through means that only he can. So divine intervention is God working supernaturally for us and enforcing covenant. Say covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God, and God is a God of covenant. So in this season and in this year that we're going to see the divine intervention happen for us, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me is he said, expressed glory. He said, this is a year of expressed glory. He told me prophetically that this is a time of Holy Spirit. Now, we know in the book of Acts, that was when Holy Spirit was released into the earth. And when you read the book of Acts, some people call it Acts of the Apostles, but it's more really like Acts of Holy Spirit. And so we are in that time again. A lot of people have been praying. We want to see moves of God like the book of Acts. We are in that time. And so I'm going to share a few things that the Lord spoke to me prophetically about this being a time of expressed glory, which is part one of the facets of divine intervention. Say divine intervention. So he said, this is a time of expressed glory. He said, a time of Holy Spirit. This is a time of Holy Spirit manifestation, demonstration, and intervention. Now, the word expressed in a dictionary refers to something that's clearly communicated or made known. It's brought outward. So the glory of God is about to be clearly communicated and made known through his people within this year and beyond. He also said it also refers to something that is shown through words, actions, or form. So the glory of God is going to be released through words we speak, through the word God speaks directly without people echoing it, and through the actions of God. I believe also when it talks about the form, there's going to be demonstrations of the tangible glory of God in the sense of where some of us would begin to see the form of God, meaning like how it talks about the glory was so thick the priest couldn't minister. You know, places that talk about glory clouds entering in. I believe we are in this space of as we are seeking the Lord, like we were doing this morning, where our focus is totally on him, we will begin to experience these kind of glory encounters. The word express also refers to to convey the true impression of, reflecting something. It means to, one definition I thought was very interesting, Nina, it said to force out. The glory of God being released is going to force some things out of your life. And then the scripture says the kingdom suffered the violence, but the violent take it by what? But I also believe that during this time, that there will be some trials and tests. But those tests and challenges are only going to cause a greater release of the glory to be manifested through you. Because it means, it refers to forcing something out, but it says by pressure. And then this word express also refers to something traveling at a high speed. So as the glory is being expressed, you can expect acceleration. You can expect things to happen quicker. Now, some synonyms for the word express means this. Something manifested, which is when something unseen becomes visible. So the unseen glory will now become visible. The things that are unseen that God has for us will now become visible by faith. Because faith is what attaches the invisible and makes it visible. Another synonym means something declared, and it talks about when authority or intent is involved. The authority of God is being released and going to be manifested in such a fresh way upon our lives as we walk out our assignments. Another synonym is something articulated, and it refers to when clarity and precision in a matter. I believe as the glory of God is released upon us and as we operate in it, as is being expressed, there's greater clarity coming to us. Those of us who were uncertain about some things, some decisions, some directions to go, this is a season of greater clarity and greater precision. You know, Paul talked about beating his body so he doesn't box like the air. This is a time for greater precision, where we're not just doing a bunch of things trying to hope it works or trying to see if it's right, but trying to say, are we here? Are we there? Are we everywhere? This is a season where God is moving with us and through us with precision. And as we align with Him, we will operate with greater precision. And the image I just got was like a surgeon. How when a surgeon is operating, they cut with precision. This is how you're going to speak. This is how you're going to act as we yield to this expression of the glory of God. Let me give you some scripture really quick. So in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, because when God started speaking to me about that, He gave me like a whole lot of scripture. So let me read you some. And then, of course, as we continue unpacking divine intervention, we'll get to more of it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, but the focus is 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, with unveiled face, that's talking about something not obstructing your ability to see. We mentioned about clarity coming with because of the glory being released, but there is a removal of obstruction in your ability to see God, comprehend God, and move with God, but also a removal of any obstruction in your ability to receive vision from God. No more feeling like, what's my purpose? Or what's my destiny? It says, we behold, meaning we're able to look and perceive the glory of the Lord just like we go and look in the mirror. See, Moses prayed the prayer, show me your glory. And God answered that. But God is also now answering that prayer in our lives, showing us his glory. And then it says we're being transformed into the same image. Now, remember this principle. What you behold is what transforms and shapes you. That is a spiritual law. What you behold will shape and transform you and will make and mold you. This is why we have to be very careful what we are watching, what we are beholding with our eyes, because the eye is the lamp of the body. When we behold, we'll be shaped into it. So as we behold God's glory, we're being shaped more into the image of Christ, who is the express image of God. And that glory transforms us inside. The glory transforms us outside. See, here's the thing about God's glory. It is the essence of who he is. And his glory is not just doing an inner work. It's doing an outer work. And I refuse to settle for just one aspect. I want it all. I want all of God. Do you want all of God? And so the glory does something internally, but also is going to transform you externally. I believe supernaturally that we could start looking a little different because the glory is on us. When Moses was with God, those 40 days on the mountain, when God gave him the Ten Commandments and gave him the basically most of the Old Testament, you know, those books of the Old Testament, it said when he came down, the glory was resting on him. So much so that he covered itself with a veil so people wouldn't see it fading. And this is why, and Paul talks about that in this passage here, which is why it says with unveiled face. We can engage God in such a way privately that when we leave, his glory is resonating on us in such a way it can be seen by others with the physical eye. And I believe as we embrace this express glory and we cultivate this intimacy with Holy Spirit, we'll have supernatural encounters like Peter. Peter walked down a street and people would come out bringing the sick and the lame, because once his shadow crossed them, they got healed. The healing didn't occur because of Peter's shadow. It occurred because of the glory of God that rested on him. And God is the same today, yesterday, and what? Forever. Which means that his glory can rest on you, and you can walk down a hall at your job. You don't even have to say anything, and somebody can get healed, somebody can be delivered, and somebody can be set free. Do you believe that what you touch, glory can rest on it? Because in the realm of the spirit, and I know some people don't understand this, but spirits can sit on physical things. And so you can touch a thing, give it to somebody, and it could be so charged with glory that they might have been having suicidal thoughts, but all of a sudden they see clearly. This is the level that we have stepped into if we just embrace it. And I'm not saying God's gonna do it. I'm saying we're already in that dimension. When the clock strike 12 in 2026, we stepped into something. We crossed into something. It's not like this is what God's. It's not what he's going to. It's what's already been released. We are 11 days into a new dimension. So it says we are changed from glory to glory. One dimension to the next. I'm telling you, what we did last season was good. 2025 was great. It was challenging, but it was a good year. I'm sorry, we saw God move miraculously for us, through us, around us, and all kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, we are in another dimension. What God did in 2025 was okay, but it will pale in comparison to what he's doing in 2026. The glory of the latter house will exceed the former, and the glory of the latter house will not look like the former. Hallelujah. Let's look at something else. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15. It says this. Man, I only got like 10 minutes now. Well, 15 minutes. Let me go quickly. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, he, talking about Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In this year of expressed glory, Jesus is manifesting himself in a greater way. Jesus is revealing himself in a greater way. And this is why we have to be focused on, what does God want to do through me today? How does God want to reveal himself through me today? Because he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Check this. It says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is the Jesus that's manifesting himself in a greater way. Hallelujah. Let me give you another one. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. Now, this passage, a lot of people were saying, like, after God started talking to me about express glory, a lot of people started reading this passage, and then the Lord took me to it, and I was like, Jesus, I don't want to read this passage because I heard other people reading this passage. I don't want to be influenced by what they said. But then God said, this is what I'm saying. And I said, okay, so I'll say it too because you're saying it. And it doesn't matter if other people are saying it. What matters is that you're saying it. So Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, this is what it says. God says, I will shake all the nations. God has been shaking systems and things since 2025. Apostle called it a divine disruption. Systems that people have put their faith in have been shaken. And they're still being shaken. And there's more shaking to come. He says, I will shake the nations, but we must remember we are a part of an unshakable kingdom. So while the nations are shaken, we stand firm and unbothered because we're part of an unshakable kingdom. And the unbothered part comes with intimacy with God. He says, I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory. They come in with the what? Wealth of the nations. People have been teaching and prophesying wealth transfer since 1998. I remember I first got saved, and I was hearing people teaching about the wealth transfer. And the thing about it is, some people thought those preachers missed it because they didn't see it happen. Some people thought, oh, they're just prosperity preachers because they were talking about wealth transfer. Here's the thing that I've recognized. This is why we don't judge anything before it's time. God will speak something prophetically, and depending on the type of word that's spoken, he will speak it for years before he does it. How long did Noah say it's going to rain before it actually rained? How long was Jesus prophesied before he came through the virgin? even though he was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, but he was prophesied that he would come. And how long were they saying it before he came? So this word initially may have been released back in the 90s, but we see it happening now. And here's the thing about glory. When you look up the Greek word for glory, which is doxa, one of the definitions refers to the wealth of God. So sometimes we get people who overfocus on the wealth, and then we get some people who overfocus on presence without wealth. And we're like, no, I just want your glory. And God's blessing them financially. And they're like, no, Lord, I just want your glory. And God is like, I'm giving you my glory. But see, we have to embrace all of God. It's like giving him a big old hug. It's like, yes, I want all of you. I want your presence. I want my character to be like you. I want my words to be your words in my mouth. I don't want to speak on my own initiative or accord. I only want to say what you tell me to say, how you tell me to say it. I want my flesh to be totally crucified so it don't rise up and lash out, and then I got to repent and apologize to people. I want to walk with God humbly and submitted to him in every way with swift obedience. And not pausing to deliberate, did you really say that? And I want the wealth. And I ain't playing with y'all. I'm just saying, I want the wealth too. There are buildings I want to buy and build. There are people who need to be fed. There are people who need clothing. There are programs that need to be started and executed. And I want the wealth to do those things. Plus, I want to take a vacation every now and then. But he said they're going to come with the wealth of all nations. And he says, I will fill this house with glory. I believe this house, Heirs Covenant Church, is filled with glory. I believe this building that we call the embassy is filled with glory. I don't care what's happening in the neighborhood around us. Well, I do care. Let me not say it that way. I care about what's happening in the neighborhood around us, but I know for this property that we own, it's filled with glory. And I believe miracles happen on the second floor simply because that program is in this building. I believe when we step on the property, I don't know about you, even when I pull up during the week and I just get on the property, I sense the presence of God. I can come in here and just sit down and be like, yes, Jesus. Before I had an office, I was working in the sanctuary because I wanted to be in presence. I believe when we come in, we don't even have to have anybody sing because of presence. But then when we sing, there's something that gets intensified. I believe that when we expect the glory to manifest every time we come, he meets our expectation. Because here's the thing. I was talking to God the other day, and I was asking God a whole bunch of questions. And he took me to this passage, Pastor Deborah. He took me to this passage where it talks about how and I'm trying to pull up my personal notes so I could tell you exactly where it's at. One scripture says the earth is filled with the glory of God. This particular prophet was having an encounter, and he saw the angels, like what John described. He saw the seraphim, and it was Isaiah, and they said the whole earth is full of his glory. But then there's another passage in Habakkuk where he had an encounter, and he said, the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory, like the waters cover the sea. Could it be that the glory could be filled in a spot and people not be aware? That it can be like Jacob, this was the gate of heaven and I didn't even know it? And the thing about Jacob is he could perceive the angelic encampment because he camped where the angels were and then wrestled with one. But he didn't perceive he was at the gate of heaven. I believe that as we are sensitive to God, that we don't miss his intentions at any moment, at any time, in any place. Because it's one thing for the glory to feel, it's another thing to be aware. Say, help us be aware. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I got 5 minutes. This was my timer, so now I got 5 minutes. Hold on. I'ma set it too, so my wife ain't making faces at me. Let me tell you these other things that the Lord spoke to me, just for your hearing. The other phrase he said, I said earlier, trials and tests in 2026. James 1, chapter 1, verse 3 says, the testing of our faith produces patience. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 17 says, momentary light affliction produces an eternal weight of glory, far beyond comparison. So there will be trials and tests. That was a part when God spoke it to me. I'm going to tell you, I had to repent because I was like, Jesus, I don't know if I like this part. Nobody likes trials. Nobody likes tests. Nobody likes their faith producing patience. Nobody likes it. It doesn't feel good. But then I had to recognize, God, every word you say is good, so this is good for me. And when trials and tests come, we already have victory because of the glory. We will see divine intervention because of his glory. So why would I be afraid of a test when I already have passed it before it was given to me? Then he also spoke to me about, he said the word jurisdiction. He says some jurisdictions are shifting and some are expanding. Now, a jurisdiction refers to the official authority or power to govern, decide, or enforce. Now, we are God's legislative body, the ecclesia. And so some jurisdictions are expanding, meaning in some places God sends us and uses us, we are going to have a greater ability to govern, decide, and enforce kingdom principle and kingdom culture. Some people are shifting. He didn't elaborate on that part, but he said some people are shifting. Then he took me to Psalm 65, verse 11. And it says this, and I'm going to read it from the King James. It says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drip fatness. So this is a year crowned with the goodness of God. When divine intervention occurs, it is an expression of the goodness of God. When the glory manifests itself in an intense way, it is an expression of the goodness of God. This year is crowned with goodness. Now, specifically when it talks about fatness, that refers to strength. And that same word is also translated in some passages as anointing. So your path, when you walk in the steps that God has ordered for you, drips the strength of God and the anointing of God. He also told me about the wisdom and glory that's released. And we talked about that when Pastor Deborah Merritt read and spoke that prophetic word about the wisdom and the glory of God that has been released in a mixture. Revelation 5 and 12. Where it says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. Jesus received it. And as a joint heir with Christ, we get to receive it. Because everything that belongs to him belongs to us. And then he told me this is a year of extreme focus and intentionality. Now, this focus is the result of some pruning that some have experienced in 2025, some resetting that has happened and is continuing to occur, And so we have to be very aware not to allow ourselves to be stretched too thin. And this year, he said, being stretched too thin may cause interference. Extreme focus. This is the time where we have to know what our yes is supposed to be and can't say yes to everything. We have to be wise with using the words yes and no, which are both complete sentences. You don't have to explain or justify or reason or apologize for saying no. And you can say no to something that's good but might not be your assignment. It can be a God assignment for somebody else, but you might not be the one that need to participate in it. You might be like, listen, I'm believing and praying for you for this thing to turn out the way the Lord has said, but that don't mean you have to physically do anything. So we have to not, especially those of us, I'm talking to me, and I can name about three or four of y'all sitting up in here who love serving. Really, I can name all of y'all up in here. We got to be careful that we are not doing so much serving because we love God and love people that we are pulled so thin that we are doing too much. We have to, in this season, it's like less is more. Pastor Deborah, didn't you say that? Yep, that was you that said that. That thing was ringing in my ear. I was like, did I see that on TV? But it was like, less is more. God said he prunes those of us who are bearing fruit, he prunes so we can bear more fruit. So if we don't submit to the pruning, or if we got pruned and act like we didn't get pruned, then the more fruit won't come. And then this is the last thing he said to me that I'm going to share at this moment. He said we have to exercise discernment in following God and staying in alignment with him. Our discernment has to be focused on seeing, hearing, and following the Lord. This is part of the reason why this time of consecration is called discerning divine intervention. Now, just to give you, as I wrap this, just to give you some context, Apostle spoke to this house, and from this house, divine intervention. And what we do is we pray, we ask the Lord, and then we track with what other established people are saying in the body of Christ. Because no matter how detailed, we prophesy in part. You can prophesy for 20 minutes, it's still only a part. It may seem like a big part to you, but it's still a part. And so here's the thing. So you know we're not an island. And so you know we're tracking with what God is doing globally. Bill Winston, he said that this is a year of glory, and used the same scripture in Haggai that we read earlier. Apostle Joshua Giles talked about the shaking and the glory, using the same scripture in Haggai. And then Bishop Garlington, our pastor's pastor, he was in a gathering with other established prophets and those who are called the fathers of the prophetic. They spent the day of prayer, and after their day of prayer, praying into 2026, they came back with the Lord is saying, this is a year of disruptive glory. Apostle Bill Themilaris, who is Bishop Garlington's successor, he phrased it as more glory. So you got to see, and then a friend of mine, who's a prophet, posted on Facebook the other day, said that this is a year we would see God's hand, which refers to his power, demonstrations of his glory. So what I'm saying to you is that God is doing something spectacular, and we are tapped right in. This is a year of divine intervention, a time of his expressed glory. Do you receive that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.